أصلي وأسلم على نبينا الأمين وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تمسك بسنته بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, now إخواني, إن شاء الله, we're going to make the mawasala of what we began yesterday, and we appreciate what the organizers have done in allowing us and affording us this opportunity to have our questions answered. So we've already introduced last night our brother to the left, the Sheikh Abu Abdurrahman Wayeed Dasyuni, and the Sheikh Abu Hassan Usama Al-Qusi. Today we have a new participant on the panel, and that is our brother and our Sheikh Abu Al-Harith Ali Al-Halabi. And we're going to deal with this for only 1 hour and 15 minutes. So we're going to get right into the issue, insha'Allah ta'ala. Tas'al al-sa'ila, or she asks the question, and I have to organize these again. Is it obligatory upon the woman or the sister that every time she cleans her child that she has to make the wudu, especially if she touches the private part of the child?
الحمد لله. مسألة مس الوضوء من الذكر أعني الكبير مسألة خلافية بين أهل العلم, الراجح فيها أنه لا ينتقض, فكيف إذا كان ذلك متعلقا بالطفل الصغير الذي تنظف له أمه فتمس يدها ذكره, فهذا من باب أولى أن لا ينتقض وضوءها بتاتا, والله تعالى أعلم. وكذلك ما يتعلق بالأنثى,
the Sheikh حفظه الله answers the question by saying the scholars of Islam are in difference of opinion in regards whether wudu will be broken if one touches his private area. But the correct answer that the majority of the scholars lean to, and what the Sheikh is leaning to, is that the wudu is not broken if a person touches his private area. Therefore, let alone if the woman or the sister or a brother is cleaning their young child and they touch the private area of the child while they are cleaning, therefore for sure the wudu would not be broken, because this is something that has no effect in it for the child or the parent, obviously. And this is either man or woman, as the Sheikh has pointed out. What is the traveling distance and the time span for a woman to travel? What is the distance and the time span for a woman to travel alone without a mahram? Because some of the hadith mention one day and a night, and other hadith mention 3 days and three nights. How do we understand this issue?
Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. وبعد أما هذه الأحاديث فالمقصود فيها التمثيل يوم وليلة وثلاثة أيام بليلهن, وإلا الصحيح في هذا والله أعلم عندي من أقوال أهل العلم أن المرجع في ذلك العرف, فما تعارف الناس على أنه من السفر فلا يجوز للمرأة أن تسافر فيه بدون محرم, وتنطبق عليه أحكام السفر الأخرى, فمرد ذلك إلى عرف الناس, والله أعلم.
The Sheikh answers the question by saying that the distance that is traveled is what people perceive as traveling for the woman. So if people would take that this distance is a state of travel, therefore she is not permitted to travel without a mahram. So it's not a distance in kilometers, it's what is perceived by the individual and the community at large. and it does not matter. There is no difference 3 days or one day. This is just the example the Prophet ﷺ put forth. Once it is known as travel by the people, that this distance is traveling, therefore this is what is travel, and therefore she must take a mahram with her.
There's a different opinion. You have to know that.
When working for the kuffar, when they give us extra pay for their holidays, like Christmas, is this holiday pay halal? And if they force it upon us, what are we to do with it? إذا كان المسلم يعمل يا شيخ عند الكفار وعندهم أيام الاحتفال مثل كريسمس ربما يكون حقا للمسلم أن يأخذ منهم ما يسمى holiday pay الإيجار خاص بهذا الاحتفال هل يجوز أخذه أو لا يجوز نعم هدية باعتبار هذه الأيام وإذا أجبر على أخذه ماذا وكيف يتصرف فيه
ما عندي جواب
أبو الحارث
الحمد لله إذا كان هذا المال المدفوع أو المعطى لهذا الموظف متعلقا بالعيد كعيد وليس بيوم الإجازة يعني قد يعطى هذا لأنه يوم إجازة فيعطى المال فحينئذ فإنه لا يجوز له أن ينتفع به يأخذه ولا يبقيه لهم ويتصرف فيه صدقة ونفقة لعلي في سبيل الله تبارك وتعالى أما إذا كان متعلقا بيوم الإجازة بذاتها فحينئذ له أن ينتفع بها كسائر الأيام التي يأخذها بمقابل إجازته والله أعلم.
The Shaykh Hafidahullah answers by saying, if the pay that is received at this time is for this religious holiday, it is for the Christmas, and it's not considered vacation pay or pay because you're not working, or it's not because it's something that's given to you at the end of the year, but it is considered as something that is given for this religious festival that they have, whatever it may be. Therefore, it is not permitted for you to accept it in your regular money. And you are to give it in sadaqah in the way that you wish. But if the money is something that is for vacation or for the end of the year at their audit or something like this, it's vacation pay at the end of the year, then it is something that you may take and benefit with. Wallahu a'lam.
I have very quick thing I would like to mention. I'm sure many brothers didn't notice this. The question was for our Sheikh Abu Hatim, but he said, I don't have answer for it. And really, I appreciate that, I respect him, and always we learn from our scholar. But to show us, I'm sure Sheikh, he might have something about it. But he didn't answer, he didn't give the answer, he gave the chance for his brother to answer instead of him. To really this kind of thing to teach us how to be worried about fatwa, not to give fatwa without knowledge and you trust.
The last part that the Sheikh Abu Abdul Rahman wanted to say was that a person should not be so confident about his position and his knowledge. But he wants to see if someone has something else, then inshallah, the good will come from that. So the next question that's put to him is a woman obligated to take care of her husband's children when she didn't bear them? They are not her children. But the husband is married to the new woman with his children from his first wife. Is that second wife obligated to take care of those children? And is the priority that her husband should concern himself with her rights first or his children's rights first?
الرجل عنده امرأة طلقها تزوج الثانية وعنده أولاد من الأولى هل يهتم هذا الزوج بحقوق الأولاد قبل حقوق المرأة الثانية زوجته الجديدة هل حقوقها تقدم على حقوق الأولاد
وهل هو واجب عليها ان تهتم باولاد اختها المطلقة؟
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعه دا. أما بعد، فلا تعارض بين حق الأولاد وحق الزوجة، فنبينا صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال: فأعطي كل ذي حق حقه، هذا حق وهذا حق. فحق الزوجة النفقة والكسوة والسكنى والعشرة، وحق الأولاد النفقة والكسوة والسكنى والتربية وما إلى ذلك وحسن التربية. فلا تعارض بين الواجبين، فلا يقدم هذا على هذا ولا هذا على هذا. وأما المرأة فإنها ليست مجبرة ولا ملزمة بتربية أطفاله من زوجة أخرى له، بل لعلها تستحق أجرة على مثل هذا الأمر الذي تقوم به، إلا إذا اشترط عليها ذلك في عقد الزواج. إذا اشترط عليها ذلك فإنه يكون ملزما، والله تعالى أعلى وأعلم. وأضيف أنها إذا فعلته بدون أجرة تكون مأجورة عند الله سبحانه وتعالى. وجزاكم الله خيرا على حسن انصاتكم.
The Sheikh, Habibullah, answers the question by saying, there should be no problem in giving the rights of the child and the rights of the wife, each his deserving right and his deserving duty. Well, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has ordered this by saying, give everyone their right and duty that they deserve. So the wife, she should be given her rights and duties, as the Sheikh outlined. Money is to be spent on her. She is to be given her clothing, her food. Relation should be performed. She should have the place to be. As the children also have the right of their father, which is that he is to educate them, raise them, give them clothes and spend on them. And it is important, the Sheikh points out, that the person, the second wife, she is not required to take care of the children of the first wife, unless it is stipulated as such in the contract of marriage. And if she takes care of the children without the stipulation in the contract of marriage, she may ask for a fare or to take money for this duty. She may ask for money to be paid for raising the children, unless it's stipulated in the contract that if I marry you, you will raise my children from this previous marriage. The Sheikh says, if she raises them without accepting money, this is also permitted, and it's khayr and it's goodness, and Allah will reward those who do good. Wallahu alam.
Speaking about the conditions of the marriage that are agreed upon by the husbands and the wives, is it permissible if a woman stipulated in the marriage contract that the man does not take another wife, and the husband agrees to that stipulation, does he have to make the execution of that? لو اشترطت المرأة عند عقد النكاح ألا يتزوج زوجها عليها، هل واجب أن والرجل وافقها على هذا، هل يجب عليه تنفيذ ما وافق عليه؟
الحمد لله. يقول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: كل شرط ليس في كتاب الله فهو باطل، وإن كان مئة شرط. فهذا الشرط الذي فيه منع لحق شرعي جعله الله سبحانه وتعالى من حقوق الرجل في بيته، مما لا ينبغي ولا يجب تنفيذه. ولكن يقول بأن الأصل عدم قبول هذا الشرط ابتداء، وإظهار الحكم فيه أولا، أما وضعه تحايلا وقبوله ظاهرا ثم رده بعد ذلك فقد لا يكون هذا من آداب الإسلام وأخلاق الإسلام، وإن كان هو في أصله وذاته ليس شرعيا. والله تعالى أعلم.
The Shaykh Hafizahullah says the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said every shart or every clause in a contract,
clause?
No. Condition. Every condition or clause in a contract that hinders the laws of Allah or that restricts any of the laws of Allah is rejected, even if it was 100 clause or 100 requirements. And since that this shart, this condition or clause, is something that is restricting the order and the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the husband to take more than one wife, the contract in the first place should not have been accepted by the husband. But since the husband has agreed to it, it is not from Islamic manners or Islamic law that he is to rekindle or to remove the clauses that have been placed on him after he has already accepted them. Wallahu a'lam.
Is it permissible to use oil and lotion that contain alcohol in it and other substances?
أنا عندي قبل الإجابة على هذا السؤال تعليق، وهو أني مستغرب من شيء، ويعني اسمحوا لي أقوله بصراحة لأني أقوله بالعربي لكم. هذا الشيء هو أنني لاحظت في كثير من إخواننا هنا، لا سيما من إخواني من مقام من أهل هذه البلد ومن مقامها، أسئلتهم كثيرة جدا عن بعض هذه الأحكام الشرعية التي فيها شروط وقيود، وأصرف على عيال زوجتي من أولادها الأولين أو لا أصرف، يجب على أن أنفق ولا ما أنفق، أسوي هذا ولا ما أخلي هذا، إذا اشترطت ولا ما اشترطت، مع أنني أعلم، وصححوني إن كنت مخطئا، أن الكفار وكثير من إخواننا قبل أن يسلم كان سمحا جدا في زواجه، وكثير من الناس عندهم نوع من السماحة والسهولة واللطف في التعامل، وبعد إسلامه بدأ يجعل هذه القيود وبدأ يبحث عن هذه الشروط، ليس من باب هي قضية يجوز أو لا يجوز، لا، وكأنه يجعل نفسه قيود ويحد على نفسه، يجب علي أن أنفق، لا أنفق إذا الله فتح عليك، ما حد يقول لك لا يجب أن تنفق. مقصودي أني لاحظت كثرة كاثرة من هذه الأسئلة التي فيها في الحقيقة تحويل الحياة الزوجية والعلاقة الأسرية إلى نوع من التعامل كأنك تتعامل مع نظام يعني كمثل نظام شركة أو ما شابه ذلك. أرجو أن لا تكون هذه العلاقة الأسرية مبنى الشريعة، جاءت بإحكام لتحفظ الحقوق غالبا عند الاختلاف، أما أصل المعاشرة والمودة والإنفاق هذه كلها لا أصول جامعة اسمها المعروف الطيب سماح الطيب النفس ما تعارف الناس على الخير فيه. يعني أرجو أن تكون هذه القضية واضحة، لأني ألاحظ كثرة كاثرة من الأسئلة حول هذه القضية. وأما إجابة السؤال فهو إلى الشغالي.
طيب بعد أن أترجم the chef before he answers the question or allows another of the chef to answer the question, he says he has a point that he wishes to make to the brothers who are sitting here today and those who ask similar questions. He says, I have noticed that our brothers are always asking questions about conditions, halal, haram, such and such, when it comes to their family life. Do I have to spend? Must I give? Do I have to raise the children? All of these questions that if they were still in their disbelieving days, they may not ask them. They would not have asked, do I have to give money to raise my child or to take care of the children of my husband? So the chef is saying, it does not just come down to right or wrong, must I or must I not. There are things that a person as a human being must come forth with, and especially as a Muslim, to perform as duties to himself, his family, his kins, those who are close to him in relations and love. And the Shaykh says, if you look at the Sharia, you will know that the Sharia was sent to protect the rights of people and society in general, not so that it is to be handled in the manner that is done today.
يعني بعض الشهر في اللوشن وغيره طالب أن فيه منتجات من هذه بعض المنتجات الكحولية الذي يظهر والله أعلم أنه جائز والله أعلم.
After the question, the chef says, after considering it, it is permissible. I'm sorry, I have forgotten the question.
Lotion.
Lotion, نعم. In regards to the alcohol and the lotion and the oil, it is permissible.
If separation or divorce takes place between the husband and the wife, who gets the baby or the child? Who makes the decision on this, in these issues and these matters of the child? يسأل السائل يا شيخ عن حكم الحضانة. إذا طلق الرجل زوجته وانفصل عنها، من يحكم في قضيتهم والولد يعود إلى من؟ كيف نتصرف في مثل هذه الأمور الجسيمة في أمريكا؟
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعه. أما بعد، فهذه المسألة الأدلة فيها مختلفة، ظاهرها أنها مختلفة ولكنها قطعا ليست مختلفة، ولهذا ففي بعضها إلحاق الولد بالأم، وفي بعضها إلحاق الولد بالأب، وفي بعضها يخير بينهما فبعض أهل العلم جمعوا جمعا بأن الولد إذا كان صغيرا يلحق بأمه، وإذا كان كبيرا يلحق بأبيه، وإذا كان في فترة وسطى ويميز يخير بين والده ووالدته. والذي يترجح لي والله تعالى أعلم ما رجحه الشيخ عبد الرحمن بن ناصر السعدي رحمه الله من أنه تعتبر مصلحة الولد في كل ذلك، فيلحق بمن مصلحة الولد عنده، والله تعالى أعلى وأعلم. إذا تزوجت لا شك أن المصلحة تقتضي أن يكون عند والده.
Or pointed out the fact to Abu Sheikh Abu Hatim by saying, what if the wife or the woman becomes married after a divorce? What if she remarries? Then, of course, the Sheikh answered by saying, then the child is given to his father. Then the child is given to his father if she remarries. Wallahu a'lam.
تفضل يا أبا عبد الرحمن اقرأ عليهم السؤال.
Do you want me to read in Arabic or in English?
They ask the question, if إن التوبة تجب ما قبلها، فهل أخبر زوجتي إذا ما سألتني إذا ما أخطأت؟ لا، لأن هذه الدمائي لا أدري هي تعود إلى أين. If the Toba wipes away what went before it, is it that if my wife...
I shouldn't have heard what I did before.
نعم. About my mistakes, or I should... since Allah Ta'ala covered my sins and my faults, and only Allah has knowledge about it, should I not tell her?
He asked, or he asked, if he made a tawbah, alhamdulillah, he should tell her or she tell him that she did or he did such and such before. This is the question. Clear?
Alhamdulillah.
طيب. The answer is, before that, تجبش معنا قلنا
إن التوبة تجب.
Remove.
إن التوبة تجب ما قبل هذا الحديث. It's not hadith. I just want to mention that because many people they think this is a hadith, and this is not a hadith sahih. But the meaning is correct. That the Islam يجب ما قبله. The Islam wipes away all the evil deeds you have done.
No.
You have done.
Oh, gee.
If the answer is you don't need to tell her about anything, she don't need to tell you about anything she has done before, except in one case,
if you married her and she is not a virgin, she should tell you that she is not a virgin before you make the marriage contract. Allahu Akbar.
The person asked this question here, if you need to use a disk in the computer and you don't know and you don't have enough money to buy a new one, a new disk, at the same time your Muslim brother can give you permission to photocopy his disk. Is it halal to do that? Because the computer rule says to photocopy a disk is haram.
What kind of installing the disk?
Because we said
Oh, that was the question.
الحمد لله. الحمد لله. أولاً هذه المسألة من المسائل المعاصرة ونحن نقر ابتداءً بأن لصاحب الحق حقاً خاصاً في امتلاكه. لذلك الأصل أن هذه الأقراص تحفظ لأصحابها ولا يجوز نسخها، لكن من خلال معرفتنا بالكمبيوتر والبرامج وهذه الأمور رأينا شيئا أن أصحاب شركات الكمبيوتر يشددون في مسألة الحقوق في أول إصداراتهم بحيث يربحون ويردون رأس مالهم وترجع إليهم أموالهم، وأما في فترة لاحقة فإنهم يغضون الطرف عن ذلك ولا يسببون، لأنهم يعلمون أن هذا النسخ عن برامجهم ستكون نتيجته في النهاية لهم إشهارا وتعريفا وانتشارا. ولا يخفى أنه لا يوجد شركة تقف عند إصدار واحد ثم تنتهي، لابد أن يكون فيرجن 1 فيرجن 2 وهكذا، أيضا ويندوز 95 97 وهكذا. نعم، فأنا أرى أن الأمر واسع في مرحلته الثانية، وأما المرحلة الأولى فلا، والله أعلم.
The Sheikh answers by saying this is a question that is something that is new. This isn't something that was found in the books from the past or things like this. This is something that is facing us in these days today. First, we say in the beginning that copyrights must be established and they must be obeyed, that the person should not transgress these copyrights in general. Then the Sheikh says, if we analyze, though, the companies and how they run their business, that they, in the beginning, the ones that produce the software and the operating systems and things like this, the Sheikh says in intimate detail, is that these companies, in the beginning, put a stress on no one making copies and performing and keeping their copyright privileges. But near the end, when they're about to produce other versions of programs, they overlook it, and it's easy for them, and they don't mind that people are making these copies, because it's a way of getting their software and shareware out into the open so that people become accustomed to it. So therefore the Sheikh comes to the conclusion and says, in the beginning it is something to be stayed away from totally, And near the end, it is something that can be looked into under other details on a specific basis. So the Sheikh does not say yes, and he will not say no, but it is something that you were to take into consideration at the end of the share versions, or as he said, 95, right after it is 98. So they don't mind maybe if you take the 95 and do such a thing with it when the 98 is what they are earning their profits from now. And the Sheikh concludes by stressing the point, Wallahu A'lam.
And Juan, just as an addition to that, it goes to show very clearly how far away those people are who want to say that the people, the students of knowledge and the ulama of al-Islam, that they don't really know what's going on. That the only thing that we can ask them about is about the woman's period and what, how many salat did you pray and like this, and the ahkam of the hajj and things like this. And instead, the people who know about the Quran and the Sunnah, they are the most qualified people to talk about all of these issues. So that's a clear proof against those people. Yes, Al-Sa'ir. I was told by a sister that one should not wear a ring on the index finger because that is where Qawmulut wore their rings. Is this true or not true? Because it's causing a problem. هذا لك يا أبا حاتم إن شاء الله. نعم. And lips of Khatim have an...
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. السائل يسأل هل التختم في السبابة يعتبر من فعل قوم لوط فيمنع؟ فالجواب لا أعلم دليلا على هذا، ومثل هذه الأمور ما يعتمد فيها على مجرد الحكايات، ولكن على كل كان تختم رسولنا صلى الله عليه وسلم في خنصر يده أحيانا اليمنى وأحيانا اليسرى، ولا شك أن اليمنى تفضل وتقدم لعموم الأحاديث التي فيها استحباب التيامن، والله تعالى أعلى وأعلم.
The chef answers the question by saying we do not know of any proof to prove that this is something from the actions of the people of Lut, that they used to wear the ring on their index finger. This may be a story and it is not important.
The
index. It is the index finger. They are not, there is no proof to say that this is, or the Shiuch have not found a proof to this, that this was from the actions of the people of Lut. But what is known is that the Shiuch tell us that the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is that when he wore his ring, and as the Sahaba also followed an example, they would wear it on their little finger, the pinky finger, the right or the left. The Prophet ﷺ wore it sometimes in his right hand and sometimes in his left. But yet, because of the multitude of the hadith narrating, the right hand was the one that it was worn on, and since it is always blessed to have your right hand with, to use your right hand in these things, therefore the Shaykh Hafizahullah says, this is what should be done and abstain from the rest.
أضيف أيضا فائدة عارضة تتعلق بهذا الموضوع والتختم، وهو أن ما يفعله بعض المسلمين عند الزواج من لبس ما يعرف بخاتم الزواج في الإصبع البنصر، فهذا فيه تشبه بالنصارى، فهذا ثابت أن النصارى يفعلونه وأنه قائم على عقيدة التثليث، كما نبه شيخنا الشيخ العلامة محمد ناصر الدين الألباني في كتابه أداب الزفاف، ونقل نقلا عن بعض الجرائد والمجلات الفرنسية من أن أصل هذا أن هذا القشيش يضع إصبع الزوجين معا ثم يقول، ونقل الكفر ليس بكافر، يقول باسم الأب وينقل الخاتمين إلى السبابتين، ثم يقول والابن وينقلهما إلى الوسطيين، ثم يقول الروح القدس، ويضع الخاتمين في الإصبعين البنصرين، فهذا تشبه بالنصارى وقائم على عقيدة التثليث، فينبغي أن يتجنب ذلك، وليس في الإسلام أصلا ما يعرف بخاتم الزواج، والله تعالى أعلى وأعلم.
The Sheikh adds to the point by saying it is also now seen in regards to the engagement ring that people, Muslims, may be doing and following these practices. It is in fact a practice from the people, the disbelievers and the people of the book, as you can return to the book of Sheikh Al-Albani, Hafizahullah, which is translated and is in the bookstore for a cheap price, and I'm not advertising. It is something that is important for you to have. In it, the Sheikh brings you from the own books and statements of the Christians how this is from their religious ceremonies, that the priest will join their fingers and then he will place the ring and he will say, and the Sheikh points out to us, the naqal of kufr, the one who is telling you what disbelief is, does not fall into it by telling you, that he will say, in the name of the Father, and he will join like this, the Mother, the Son, or the Holy Ghost, and the Son, and then on the third, the engagement ring finger, he will put the ring. So this is from their actions, and this is why they wear it on this side, and on this part. This is why they choose this finger. So this is something that is to be stayed away from, and to be left alone. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam.
Enjoining the ma'roof.
And in Islam, there is nothing that is known as an engagement ring that was practiced by those who have come from before us.
When enjoining the ma'roof. هنا شبهة لابد من إزالتها، وقد أشار إليها أيضا محدث الدنيا في هذه الأيام شيخنا أبو عبد الرحمن محمد ناصر الدين الألباني حفظه الله، وهي الحديث الصحيح الذي فيه التمس ولو خاتما من حديد، فقد يظن أن خاتم الحديد من أجل الزواج. خاتم الحديد ليس خاتم زواج، وإنما هذا الرجل طلب منه أن يدفع صداقا للمرأة، فما عنده صداق، ما عنده شيء، قال ما عندي شيء. فنبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم قال له اذهب، ارجع إلى بيتك، اذهب عن أي شيء ولو حتى خاتما من حديد، لو لم تجد إلا خاتما من حديد. فهنا خاتم الحديد هل يجوز لبسه أصلا، وهل هو من أجل الزواج؟ ليس من أجل الزواج، وإنما هو مجرد صداق، والرجل ما كان عنده شيء، ولذلك لما لم يجد خاتما من حديد قال أزوجكها بما معك من القرآن. ثم بعد ذلك هل يجوز إذا هو أهداها خاتما من حديد أن تلبسه؟ وردت أحاديث بالنهي عن خاتم الحديد، وهذه الأحاديث لابد من فهمها على أنه الحديد الخالص الأسود الخام، هذا هو المنهي عنه، وأما السبائك فلا حرج فيها إن شاء الله، وإن كان الحديد داخلا في هذه السبائك، والله تعالى أعلى وأعلم.
The Sheikh also points out to us after we were reminded of the hadith which is found in the authentic books of hadith, also found in the same book that we pointed to you, the marriage and its etiquette of Islam by Sheikh Muhammad Nasir al-Din al-Albani. This hadith is in Bukhari, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered one of his Sahaba when he was coming to get married, if he couldn't find anything to give her for her mahr, for her sadaq, for her gift, or for her mahr, her dowry, to give her even an iron ring. And the Sheikh did not want you to become confused and think therefore they're giving this iron ring because it's an engagement ring. No. And what proves it is the rest of the narration. When the man did not even find an iron ring, something very cheap, the Prophet ﷺ still gave him the marriage by saying, how much of the Qur'an do you know? I marry you to her with your knowledge of the Qur'an. So therefore the ring was not the issue in the marriage. And this is important for us to understand. And also, if you look at the statements of the scholars, the ring that is made wholly and only of black iron is prohibited. As the scholars of fiqh and of our scholars have stated. But as for rings that may have some iron in it, this is something that is permitted for you to wear. But a ring made solely and only of black iron, pure black iron, this is something that is not permitted for us to wear. So even if the Sahaba would have given it to her, he would have given it to her as a gift for maybe her to sell, to take the money for, or something like this. Wallahu a'lam.
When enjoining the ma'roof and prohibiting the munkar, is it a condition for the amir to be doing the thing himself?
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala asraf al-anbiya wal-mursaleen, nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi ajma'in, wa ba'd. فإنه ينبغي لمن يأمر بالمعروف وينهى عن المنكر أن يكون مطبقا ذلك على نفسه، وإلا يكون في صفة من صفة المنافقين ومن صفات اليهود الذين يأمرون الناس بالبر وينسون أنفسهم. ولكن يجوز له ويحق، يعني يجب عليه أن ينكر المنكر ولو كان يقع فيه، فإن تركه يصبح حينئذ فاعلا لمنكرين: الأول وقوعه في المنكر، والثاني تركه لإنكار المنكر. ولذا قال سفيان الثوري: يجب على أهل الكوس أن ينكر بعضهم على بعض، يعني وهم يتعاطون الخمر واجب شرعي عليهم أن ينكر بعضهم على بعض، فهذا واجب وذلك واجب آخر. ويجب أن تعلم وفقني الله وإياك إلى أن الكلمة الناصحة التي تقع في القلب موقعا مؤثرا هي الكلمة التي تخرج من قلب صادق ونصيحة صادقة يكون صاحبها هو أول متأدب بها. وفقني الله وإياكم للخير، والله أعلم.
The Sheikh حفظه الله answers the question by saying, as for the person who is ordering the good when he himself is not performing it, or telling someone to stay away from evil when he is doing it, this is something that should not be done. For we are not like the Jews who ordered people to do good while they themselves did not, or ordered people to stay away from evil while they themselves approached it. But yet, the person must still order and give advice, even if he falls into the sin himself. The reason is that if he does not do so, he is committing two mistakes. One is that he is doing it, and two, that he let his brother fall into the sin without advising him. And this is what Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri has explained in one of his statements, that both would have fallen into sin, and one of them would have fallen more than the other, this one who saw him doing it and did not advise him in such a manner. Therefore, the specific example was in regards to drinking, but I just gave you the meaning so that you may know it on all the scale. But the specific example of Imam Sufyan al-Thawri is of people that are drinking. The one who is drinking, the one who sees them and does not order them, they are falling into the sin. But this is something that is to be measured in all of these actions. Also, the Sheikh concluded by saying, and the most accepted nasiha, giving you advice in how you give the nasiha, the most accepted nasiha is the one that is given from the heart, one where you are sincere in how you are giving it, and how you are approaching the person with sincerity to him. Wallahu a'lam.
The Muslim minority living in the land of Kufr, is it an obligation on them to elect an amir for themselves, or a leader for their jama'ah, or should they just live under the shade of Kufr? And whom should they give the bay'ah to, or the allegiance to? الأقليات الإسلامية هنا في أمريكا، هل عليهم أن يختاروا لأنفسهم أميرا يدير لهم دعوتهم؟ وكيف تكون هذه بيعة؟ تعطى لمن؟ وكيف؟
بلا من ولا كيف، لا